1-800-799-3777 or by visiting nhpr.org. And thanks so much for your support.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup today on The Exchange, and here's some sound from news around the Granite State this week.
For at least a three-hour period beginning at 11:30, I-293 southbound will be closed after the Hooksett tolls at the I-293-93 split, and all traffic will be directed to I-93 southbound.
Economist Annette Nilsson at New Hampshire Employment Security says health services and retail jobs are still growing. The strongest growth, she says, is in construction.
And especially special trade contractors is up 1,700 over the year. And that's really tied mostly into the strength of the housing market.
On healthcare, Jean Shaheen didn't tell the truth.
You can keep your insurance if you like it. It will increase choices for families. It will promote competition.
The facts. More than 20,000 New Hampshire patients have had their coverage canceled.
The average income of the working poor is still very, very low. And rents for, you know, an average apartment in New Hampshire are still very far out of the affordability range for this population.
Now, in all of these executive council meetings, we did not follow Robert's rules of order. We followed Ray Burton's rules of order. Ray Burton was the only executive councilor in the history of the state of New Hampshire who could make a motion and then second his own motion.
From the top, that was New Hampshire Department of Transportation spokesman Bill Boynton on the shutdown of I-293 after a propane truck accident. NHPR's Emily Corwin on the latest state employment report. An ad by the group Ending Spending against U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen. Kathy Kuhn with the Coalition to End Homelessness as it released its annual survey, and former Governor John Lynch speaking at a memorial service Saturday for Executive Councilor Ray Burton. It's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup today in The Exchange, and let's hear from you. We want your thoughts about the headlines of the week. Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. Our guests for this week's roundup are Jeff Feingold, editor of New Hampshire Business Review. Jeff, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Nice seeing you, Laura.
Also with us, Kevin Landrigan, longtime political reporter for The Telegraph of Nashua. Kevin, thanks for helping us out.
Great to be back, Laura.
And also with us, Dean Spiliotis, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And Dean, thanks as always.
Sure. Good morning, Laura.
Well, major news just yesterday, gentlemen. The state announced it had settled a lawsuit related to mental health care. Kevin, step back a bit. What was the basis for this suit and how important is this?
Yeah, this is a very big deal, Laura. And the reason is it's not the only suit against the state of New Hampshire hanging over the head of Governor Maggie Hassan, but politically it's probably the most troubling one. She inherited this one. The suit was brought by Disabilities Rights Council, and disability advocates nationally got very involved in this. As you know, New Hampshire has been rated among the best states for caring for folks with mental health problems, but the spending at the state level has degraded over the years, and for a number of years we haven't kept up with that investment. What brought this settlement about? It really was the legislature and this new governor. Governor Hassan, who, after all, is an attorney, was well aware that if we make an investment in this budget, we'll send a signal to the plaintiffs that we can be trusted, that there is a roadmap for a settlement. So they put $24 million into this budget. Attorney General Joe Foster credited both the governor and the legislature with creating the climate for settlement talks to begin. Now, this isn't over. I mean, this is a four-year agreement, and New Hampshire and its legislature and its governor have to keep promises. We're talking about $30 million in investments through 2017, and a lot of specific markers. By each year, these community assertive teams have to be in place. By the next year, these number of new additional beds in the community have to be there. So there's still some work to be done and some money to be found. But this settlement is a huge relief politically for Governor Hassan.
So there's a specific plan in place, Kevin. That's part of the settlement. By date X, you will have done such and such and such and such with this amount of cash.
It is. And again, one of the reasons this settlement came about was within that $24 million is an investment in this budget calls for an additional 12 beds at New Hampshire Hospital. That has been basically overrun. New Hampshire Hospital reduced its enrollment over the years. As they thought, the population needing that kind of level of intensive mental health treatment was going down. Well, it's shot back up, and that's why they needed the 12 additional beds, and they could be in place by the end of the summer.
Dean, quick thoughts from you, please.
Part of the issue here is Governor Hassan trying to make up some ground for neglect and spending on mental health in the state. But part of it also is a sort of larger philosophical shift from institutionalizing people at the state level to treating them within their communities. Because if you can treat them in their communities, the idea is that the treatment will be a lot more effective and eventually less more cost effective because they stay in their home context. So it's both the sort of larger state issue, but it's also kind of implementing new thinking about how to treat people with mental health issues in their home communities.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me as an old timer of the settlement and closing of the state school in Laconia many years ago.
Back in the 70s,
which
right?
was for developmentally disabled people, and it was the same kind of thing, very expensive and very, very time consuming legal issues, and it was really it's New Hampshire goes through this every generation or so. I mean, well, you add the Claremont lawsuit into this too, where they just don't put the resources in that's necessary at some point, and then they get a big bill at the end.
All right. Well, a big story, and one we will definitely be following up on in the new year. Again, the number for you to join our roundtable is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Now, Dean Spiliotis, I feel a little silly saying that it was big news that it snowed this week, but it was big news. There was a rollover on 293 of a propane truck. People were evacuated. And just during these back-to-back storms, Dean, the New Hampshire Coalition to End Homelessness came out with its survey, all the more poignant since the weather was so bad. What did they tell us, Dean?
Yeah, well, I think you're right about the snow. I think here in Concord, we had about 10 inches with the first storm and then another 4 or 5 inches with the second storm. On homelessness, the New Hampshire Coalition to End Homelessness released a report to give us a sense of the homelessness issue in New Hampshire. And they found that although homelessness had decreased slightly in New Hampshire between 2011 and 2012, it has remained constant since 2012. So there were no real change. Their headcount this year is about 1,685 homeless in New Hampshire. 40% of those are members of families. So it's still a significant problem. The big problem, and this has been a problem for a number of years now, is the issue of providing shelters. So, you know, their argument is that, you know, the number of homeless has stayed constant. However, there's been a 20% increase in the number of those who are unsheltered. You know, and we've had that debate here in Concord in the community over, you know, when and where to open homeless shelters, and it's a very difficult thing to find appropriate facilities and locations. So the problem isn't so much an increase in homelessness. It's there are just fewer sheltered beds and places available for people during these kinds of difficult weather conditions.
Yeah, and it got cold earlier this year, so there was, absolutely, you know, a lot of talk about, okay, usually the shelters open,
right,
you know, in mid-December, and they weren't open yet.
This has been a problem for several years, finding,
sure,
shelter space.
Earlier this year, I went to visit over at the New Horizons shelter in Manchester, and it was in the spring, and the beds were filled. And that's way before wintertime, and it was very concerning to Charlie Sherman, who's the executive director over there, and it's not getting any better. I mean, that's the real concern.
Yeah, well, and the other concern was, as I think you said, Dean, that 44% of the homeless are families with children.
Yes.
You know, that's not the image that you have. So, again, a story that we will likely be watching as time goes on. The survey came also as the Salvation Army, Jeff, which runs some homeless shelters, yeah, including one in Concord, said its kettle intake was down from those bell-ringing Santas.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Well, I think basically it's a reflection of the economy. I think that people just don't think they have the expendable income. Although if you go to the malls or whatever, you see it filled with people with all kinds of bags and stuff. But I happen to have noticed people just kind of walking by the kettle. I'm not quite sure really why that would be happening with the Salvation Army, because it's not a big ask.
Well, Christmas,
right?
season started late this year.
Yes, it did start late.
It did start
late,
about.
But I still think it reflects the concern of people having, you know,
and retailers have said that shopping's down just a little
it's,
bit. Over
the,
last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Although unemployment numbers Kevin Landergan released this week for November showed unemployment unchanged from October, 5.1%, down from 5.7% last November. So overall, we're getting better.
Yeah, we're getting better, but this isn't a robust jobs recovery, and that's what we're seeing here, that national unemployment rate is at 7%. Construction, the housing market is really saving us. There's no question that if we didn't have a recovering housing market, a fully recovering housing market, our unemployment would stagnate still further. So 5.1%, still some more progress to be made.
Yeah, because earlier, you know, 10 years ago, New Hampshire unemployment was, you know, 3.5% or
exactly.
something like that. But still, it's come down.
It has.
Since
it's
last year, a fair bit. I just want to remind everybody that it's the final hour of NHPR's December Fund Drive. It's your last chance to get in on the drawing for an iPad Air. Make your gift. Get in on the drawing. Call 1-888-805-6477. Visit NHPR.org. A little bit more from you, Jeff Feingold, too, please, on those employment numbers that came out this week.
Kevin has a good point about the construction market starting to come through, but in the last month, they've created 1,600 construction jobs. But you have to remember that we've lost thousands and thousands of construction jobs because of the recession. The construction market's been in a depression for years now. And it's starting to come back, and which is a really, really good sign, because it's an essential part of the New Hampshire economy, construction and real estate markets.
And you've got some reporting coming up, Jeff, right, on the employment picture.
Yes, we have our annual economic preview coming up for our next issue, and we have found that there's a little more optimism about 2014 in terms of even job creation and all that stuff, which is good. But we also had a story on today's on our website today about a bill being sponsored, the governor supporting, to increase the benefits paid to people on unemployment. And it hasn't been done since for 11 years. It hasn't been an increase. And it's because the unemployment trust fund, the money that's used to pay, has been replenished, because we had to borrow money from the federal government to help pay for all the huge increase in the joblessness in New Hampshire. So,
all right. After a break, we will talk about some of the big political stories of the week. There were a fair bit, so more of that after a super short break. We are going now to our December Fund Drive.
Good morning, and thank you, Laura. We have just $4,800 left to raise to close the books on this fund drive. This is the final hour of NHPR's December fund drive. Thank you so much to our brand new member of the Leadership Circle at $100 a month. You really made a huge difference, as has everybody who has given this morning. The number to call to make your gift, 1-888-805-6477. You can also go online, nhpr.org. I'm Rebecca Lavoie in the studio for this final hour with Brady Carlson.
And given that this is the final hour, it means it's your final chance to be entered into the drawing for an iPad Air. We want you to have that here during this holiday season. Got to make sure you're entered before 10 o'clock today. So right now, while it's on your mind, call 1-888-805-6477 or visit nhpr.org. Make your gift to New Hampshire Public Radio and you could win an iPad Air.
This is the final hour of this drive, your final chance to win our final drawing. We started at 9 a.m. with an ambitious goal of $6,500. We now just have $4,800 left to raise. Oh, we're getting a little bit of an update. $4,600 left to raise now in the next 40 minutes and we are done. It is your final chance to give before the end of the year. Make your tax deductible gift. Show how much NHPR means to you. 1-888-805-6477. Support the exchange. Support NHPR at nhpr.org.
Now just $4,600 to go. And that's how it works. It's listener by listener, call by call, gift by gift, member by member. We come together as a team, as a community of NHPR supporters, and we make the goal together so that we can bring you more of the exchange in 2014. Make your tax-deductible contribution right now at 1-888-805-6477.
You have fewer than 40 minutes left. Fewer than 40 minutes left to win an iPad Air, the final drawing of this final fun drive of 2013. Make a call right now and you will be entered to win the iPad Air. It is the hottest tech item out there. Everyone wants one, myself included. I can't win. You can. Pick up the phone, 1-888-805-6477. Check out drawing details details and make your gift online, nhpr.org.
And making that contribution to your public radio station makes you feel like you're walking on air. It feels so good. Just $4,400 now left on our hourly goal, about 39 minutes left to raise it. Your gift right now, it's a $20 a month as a sustaining member or $25 a month, will make a big difference in what you hear every day with Laura Kanoy and her guests on The Exchange. So do your part now at 1-888-805-6477.
About 38 and a half minutes left to get your chance to win an iPad Air. This is the 16 gig model, 20% thinner than the original iPad, ultra fast, powerful apps, 10 hours of battery life, a fantastic device. It is probably the number one item on Christmas lists all around the place. It can be yours when you call now. 1-888-805-6477. Your last chance to support The Exchange, your last chance to win a prize, nhpr.org.
We're making serious headway on this hourly goal in the final hour of the December Fun Drive. This goal is an incentive for you to make your gift, but it's also a very direct connection into what you hear every day on The Exchange, on Morning Edition, on the Diane Rehm Show. Your contribution directly supports what you hear every single day. So really, you're investing in your own listening when you give to public radio right now at 1-888-805-6477.
Just 37 and a half minutes now to get your chance to win a brand new shiny iPad Air. Lean, mean, impossibly thin, solid, has an aluminum unibody design. Everybody wants this iPad. This is a big deal. It's a big thing to be giving away. We've already given away one this drive. We have another one. We have another iPad Air to give away. It can be yours, but only if you call or go online in the next 37 minutes. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
There are three people on the phones right now. That is great news. We could double that right now with your help and have six people on the line. You could make that happen right now when you call 1-888-805-6477. This is the final hour of the December Fun Drive. And as they say in professional football, finish strong. So let's finish strong right now with your help at nhpr.org.
Just $4,200 now left to raise in the next 36 minutes or so, $4,200 left to close the books on this December Fun Drive. Your gift is tax deductible. It helps you show your love for a station that you tune into, that you rely on every single day. Make your gift. It is your final chance to support NHPR in 2013. 1-888-805-6477. Join your fellow listeners. Make a gift at nhpr.org.
You know, they say the holidays is a time to reach out to the ones you love. Well, if you've ever said, I love listening to the Exchange, I love the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, I love Laura Kanoy, I love the questions she asks, well, reach out to the ones you love. Support them right now at 1-888-805-6477, because it's listener support that puts Laura Kanoy in the studio to bring you The Exchange every single day. You can also make a gift at our website, nhpr.org.
Now just $4,100 left to raise to end this drive. We have 35 minutes. 35 minutes. When you call, you will get a chance to win our final drawing of the drive. It's an iPad Air with a Retina display, the latest and greatest, shiniest, most wonderful iPad that has ever been built. Could be yours, but only if you give before 10 a.m. Call right now, 1-888-805-6477, or go online, make a gift, nhpr.org.
Just $4,100 left to go, so we're just about to hit a big milestone here. Your gift at a typical amount of $10 a month would help us get there. There are four people on the phone right now. That means the momentum continues to build, and that means there's still time for you to get in on the iPad Air, as they are doing right now. So let's hear from you at 1-888-805-6477.
You rely on The Exchange. You love The Exchange. This is a program that you tune into every day. I know, because you're listening right now. So pick up the phone, show your love with a gift. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from UR members and from Rotary, providing community service to Vermont, New Hampshire, and the world. Rotary, humanity in motion, information at rotary7870.org. And from Antioch University, New England, educating practitioner scholars with their doctoral program in clinical psychology, antiochne.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. We're covering some of the stories that made headlines this week. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. Send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. Our guests for the roundup are Jeff Feingold, New Hampshire Business Review, Kevin Landrigan, The Telegraph of Nashua, and Dean Spiliotis with Southern New Hampshire University and the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And guys, before we go to our political segment, and there were a lot of stories to catch up on, including some protests around Scott Brown's visit to New Hampshire last night, I have received two emails that came in during the break, one from Jordan in Auburn and one from Paula in Concord. Both of them say the same thing, so I will read Jordan's because it came in first, okay? But Paula, thanks for yours as well. Jordan says, "While it's unfortunate, some people such as myself will be walking right by the Salvation Army pot because we sincerely disagree with their horrendous anti-gay policies and beliefs." Kevin Landrigan, this came up yesterday in our editorial meeting. Someone said that this may also be a factor hurting Salvation Army bell ringer giving. What do you know about this?
Sure. Well, the Salvation Army is a kind of a Catholic tradition, and the Salvation Army expresses that in the Catholic religion that homosexuality is considered a sin. It's been on their website before. It's you know, as we talked about during the break, is the only place that operates a homeless shelter in Concord. That puts a lot of givers in a difficult position. My answer to that essentially is, okay, that's fine. There are all kinds of ways to give at this time of the year. We have a lot to be thankful out there. All of us do. But there are people in our listening audience that do not. There are things like the Helping Hands box at all the supermarkets where you, for $10, along with your grocery bill, you pay for a box. It's got all perishable foods. It's given to families that are doing without food right now, and there are a lot of people out there. It's non-denominational. It's not affiliated with any organization other than the food kitchen. There are other ways to give if you have problems with a particular source like Salvation Army.
Okay. Well, thank you for those emails. Again, the address is exchange@nhpr.org. The phone number is 1-800-892-6477. Dean Spiliotis, let's kick off this segment with some political coverage. And instead of going to Scott Brown and all the coverage around that last night, I want to start, Dean, with the New Hampshire governor's race, because on the Republican side, I still can't figure out who's in, who's out to challenge Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan.
Yes, and I will say Scott Brown is certainly getting more than his share of press coverage for a non-candidate, so we'll take a break from that for the moment. Yes, this question of who's going to run against Governor Hassan in the next election. You know, we often talk about, the governor only gets 2 years. It's unusual for a first-term New Hampshire governor to be unseated. Craig Benson is one of the few recent exceptions. She had a 12-point margin over Ovid LaMontagne in the last election. She's going to be somewhat susceptible to the whole Affordable Care Act issue because she has supported implementing that in the state, but not as exposed to it as, say, Jean Shaheen or Carol Shea Porter or Annie Custer. So, you know, who's going to run against her? We really haven't heard a lot of names so far. There has been some reporting in the last week or two, some other names that are popping up in the media of people, particularly conservatives, who are considering running. Andrew Hemingway, a well-known conservative activist in the state, is considering running. Aaron Day, who's the chair of the New Hampshire Republican Liberty Caucus, is considering running. There's been some reporting that Chuck Rolichek, who was a former owner of the Hanover Street Chop House, ran for the Executive Council District 4 recently and lost. He might run. Bill O'Brien has said he's thinking about governor and Senate. Interestingly enough, the one person who had been out there in front, George Lambert, in saying that he might run, has now said he's not going to run due to some health issues. So, you know, there seems to be some concern, not just within the Republican Party as a whole, but particularly among conservatives, to come up with someone to challenge her. So far, she seems like she's going to be a reasonably strong candidate, but we shall see. But these names are now circulating. But it is indicative of sort of the challenge that the party faces that, we're getting into January of 14 and there really isn't any sort of clear, highly visible challenger to the governor.
Yeah. What do you make of that, Jeff?
It's interesting. I can't remember it in recent times where it's been so late before you can have at least a clear race developing where, you know, there's some kind of a primary that's going to happen. We don't even have a candidate yet. And it's quite interesting. It reflects on the state of the Republican Party right now. That's really kind of torn, and We saw that Brad Cook, the attorney from Manchester, and a comment from NHBR, full disclosure, who had thought about apparently running for governor. He said basically his argument was he knows his political history and has never been a there's only been one-term governor in, I don't know, is it 100 years?
Yeah, almost 100 years.
Yeah. A long time.
Yeah, except for Craig Benson.
Except for Craig Benson.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he says he looks at the odds. And she's also relatively popular. I don't think there's been a reflection of, you know, any kind of real serious negative problem, you know, perceptions of her.
Yeah, there's nothing in the polling data that suggests that, oops, the voters made a mistake. And that's certainly good for her, at least after one term.
The other problem is she is a phenomenon. She's the only woman Democratic chief executive in the country. And now is the vice chairman of the Democratic Governors Association, a big symbol and a big attraction for big money. She got $8 million from those Democratic sources to first win the
job. That may be making Republicans feel hesitant, Kevin, because they think that she's going to get all sorts of money from outside.
It absolutely is.
Groups.
It's one of the reasons why they like Chuck Rolichek. He's a man of means. He's not a super wealthy guy, but he could self-fund the first stake of this campaign if he gets in, and it's looking like he may well do it.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, well, I want to remind everybody, it is indeed the final hour, in fact, the final half hour of NHPR's December Fund Drive. It's your last chance to get in on the drawing for an iPad Air. Make your gift. Get in on this drawing. Call 1-888-805-6477. Visit NHPR.org and help us out during this December drive. 1-888-805-6477. So let's talk a little bit about Scott Brown, guys, because he was here last night. He drew a big crowd. What was the occasion, Kevin?
This was the holiday fundraiser for the New Hampshire Republican State Committee. What was interesting was the crowd he drew, which was not only a sellout crowd. Tickets range from $50 for full sponsorship to $2,500. But the crowd he drew was even bigger outside. The New Hampshire Firearms Coalition, very unhappy with his record as a state senator. He supported a ban against semi-assault weapons. And also, after the Newtown tragedy, was the first former Republican member of Congress to support a ban on assault weapons. They were there, really out in force. Democratic activists were there. But there were some young Republicans across the street with blue Run, Scott Run signs. The event was closed press. We weren't able to be inside the room while he gave about a 10-minute speech. Waiting about 2.5 hours in the 25-degree weather, I can tell you, one of these, you know, I'm Hardy.
I'm
from Berlin, so I'm wearing just a sweater and a turtleneck, and you know how you get that core cold in you and you can't get it out. I finally went back to my car to get my jacket. There's a fire engine next to the car. There's a chimney fire in the house next to my car that's going on. And the fireman comes up to me and he says kind of nicely, do you mind moving your car? Now that by now there's 300 people, gun people who are protesting. So there's no parking. And so I said, could you kind of work around my car? I'm here to tell you folks, just for your advice in the future, if a fireman says, can you move your car? It's not negotiable. So I moved my car.
Oh, it's a great little side story to the bigger political story. Thank you for that, sure. Kevin. You know, Dean Spiliotis, one New Hampshire Republican operative, a guy who's been around New Hampshire politics for a long time, called it baffling that Scott Brown hasn't made his intentions clear, even though he is moving to Rye and so forth. What do you think? Is it baffling?
No, you know, I think he has looked very carefully at ways to maintain his relevance politically since losing his bid for the Senate seat to Elizabeth Warren. You know, he visits Iowa occasionally, which always reliably stokes presidential speculation. I mean, he was such a fascination the first time around, and he clearly has kind of captivated the national political press corps that any time he shows up in New Hampshire, it for better or worse, it's a national story. And it was fascinating to me to see him. You know, I saw him interviewed after the, you know, I saw clips of him interviewed after the fundraiser, and, you know, he seems to be sort of enjoying himself. He likes being kind of in the middle of all this attention. But it was also interesting to see the extent to which some of the conservatives in the state turned out to basically, you know, call him a anti-gun carpetbagger, which is what I think one of the protesters called him. So it's interesting that a lot of the pushback may come from within the Republican Party in the state, although there are some kind of establishment types in the state who think he would be a good high-profile candidate who would bring in a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, he does have that – the money is something that is attractive to a lot of Republicans. But on the other hand, as Dean said, it's really – you know, he's it's not going to be an easy road for him in a Republican primary because of his stance on guns and very other things as well. Someone who's a conservative Republican in Massachusetts, that doesn't translate to be a conservative Republican in New Hampshire.
All right. Well, we will talk a lot more after a break. We're going to check in again with the final minutes of NHPR's December Fund Drive.
And you can support NHPR during these final minutes by calling 1-888-805-6477 or by visiting nhpr.org. I'm Brady Carlson here with Rebecca Lavoie. We are just $3,000 away from wrapping up this fund drive goal, and we can get there before 10 o'clock with your help, your contribution to New Hampshire Public Radio.
That's right. This drive is over at 10, which means you have just 23 and a half minutes to give, plus 23 and a half minutes left to enter our final drawing of the drive, and it is a doozy. It is for an iPad Air, the latest, the greatest, the most spectacular Retina display iPad ever built. It can be yours, but only if you give before 10. That's 23 minutes away. Pick up the phone, 1-888-805-6477, or go online, nhpr.org.
The momentum continues to build as we get toward the finish line. 7 people now on the
phone.
Thank you. Let's double that right now. Why not, right? 14 people on the phone. That would be really great. There's now just $2,700 left on this goal. We have come so far this morning. Thanks to everyone who has contributed already. It's not too late to get in, though, at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
It is the last chance to support the exchange in 2013. It's the last chance to support NHPR in 2013. Maybe most importantly, your last chance to win a brand new shiny iPad Air, but only when you call in the next 22 minutes. That's all the time there is left. 1-888-805-6477. You can also go online, make a gift. You will be entered at nhpr.org.
It's listener support that makes everything that you hear every day on the exchange possible. We are a listener-supported news service. That's as simple as that. You are listening right now to the New Hampshire News Roundup. Why not contribute to New Hampshire Public Radio? Why not contribute to this source that you use, that you enjoy, that you appreciate, and help us wrap up this December fund drive right now? $2,700 left to go. I'm getting an update now. Just $2,400 left
to
go. That's how it works. That's great. Let's hear from you now at 1-888-805-6477.
We are within spitting distance, as our producer Taylor Quimby would say, of finishing this drive. We have $2,400 left to raise. A few of you on the phone right now with a very typical gift level of $10 a month will wrap up this drive hugely successfully. And of course, you will all be entered to win. You will be entered to win when you call a brand new iPad Air. It is on everyone's holiday list. I want one. I can't win one, but you can when you call in the next 21 minutes. 1-888-805-6477 is the number. You can make your gift of $10 a month or $20 a month, however much you support the exchange. Just put a dollar figure on it at nhpr.org.
Now we're down to just $2,200. This is fantastic momentum. I'm so grateful. Listeners always come through for New Hampshire Public Radio. If you haven't made your gift now, it's not too late to do it. It just takes a couple of minutes right here on this Friday morning to contribute and make a big difference. You choose the level, but call 1-888-805-6477. You make a pledge at nhpr.org.
The NHPR community has been showing their appreciation for public radio this morning, showing their appreciation for the exchange, showing their appreciation for this service being here for you every single day. We started this hour with $6,500 to raise. We now just have $2,200 to wrap up this fund drive and 20 minutes in which to do it. Be the one who makes the difference. 1-888-805-6477 or online, nhpr.org.
We're at a big milestone right now. Just $2,000 left to go. So your gift right now will help us move past that next big spot toward the finish line. How about a dollar a day membership to show that you appreciate having Laura Kanoy and the Exchange there every weekday here on New Hampshire Public Radio? How about making a gift, say, at the Leadership Circle level of $100 a month? Make your gift right now at the level that's right for you at 1-888 805-6477.
Whether your gift is $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60 or $120, you will be entered to win the final drawing of this drive. It is for an iPad Air. We are ending the drawing and ending the drive at 10 a.m., which means you have 19 minutes to get your name in the hat to win this fantastic prize, this coveted iPad with a Retina display that everyone wants, 10 hours of battery life. It could be yours, but only if your name is in the hat. You get it in the hat by picking up the phone, 1-888-805-6477, or make a gift online, nhpr.org.
There are four new people on the lines right now. That is fantastic. Thanks to each of you. Let's join them right now. You join them right now as a member of New Hampshire Public Radio at 1-888-805-6477, because we have this special iPad Air drawing, because we are just $1,800 away from the hourly goal, because you appreciate what you hear every day on The Exchange. So many great reasons to call or to make a gift at nhpr.org.
Just 10 people now at the $15 level would close this fund drive. $15 a month level. This is $1,800 away from the end of the December fund drive. Your last chance to support NHPR with your tax-free gift in 2013. And, of course, you'll be entered in to win the iPad Air. You've got about 18 minutes. Pick up the phone. Do not delay. This is it. 1-888-805-6477 or online, nhpr.org.
A big thank you to every single person who has made a gift to New Hampshire Public Radio this morning and throughout the December fund drive. You make public radio possible here in the Granite State. You bring The Exchange, Morning Edition, and the Diane Rehm Show to listeners across the Granite State. And we are so very grateful for your support. If you haven't made your gift yet, you can still do so and get in on this iPad Air drawing at 1-888-805-6477 or by visiting nhpr.org. And thanks so much.
Support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from UR members and from Meriden Construction, a multifaceted contractor serving New Hampshire for over 20 years, pledging a strong partnership with every project they engage. Details at meridennh.com. And the League of New Hampshire Craftsman Retail Galleries in Concord, Hanover, Littleton, Meredith, Nashua, and North Conway. Information at nhcrafts.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. It's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup today on The Exchange. You can join us with a phone call at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Our guests are Jeff Feingold, Kevin Landrigan, and Dean Spiliotis. And gentlemen, before the break, we were talking about a couple emails that we got from people on the Salvation Army upset, saying they wouldn't give because they consider the Salvation Army homophobic. We talked about that a little bit. Got a couple more emails pointing out that the Salvation Army isn't Catholic, but is actually its own church. Thanks to those folks for clarifying that. It's a complicated story, so I really appreciate people setting us straight there. I did want to finish up some of our political coverage that we were doing before the break as well. And Jeff Feingold, to you, it was mentioned that Maggie Hassan won't be pulled down too much by the Affordable Care Act, unlike, I think it was Dean who said this, Jean Shaheen. The Affordable Care Act could cause some trouble for Senator Shaheen.
Yes, there's already been an ad criticizing her stance on it, basically tying her to what the president has said, you know, you won't lose your doctor and all that other stuff. It's interesting because she was, I think, if not the first, one of the first Democratic senators to just jump onto this whole thing about we got to fix it, we got to change the dates. If anything, the Senator Shaheen is really smart politically, and she understands what kind of situation she's in. And she is more vulnerable today than she would have been a few months ago. I really do think that. I mean,
because of problems with the rollout.
Because of the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. It's interesting to see. I don't know how vulnerable she really is, because she's still very popular in New Hampshire. It will be interesting to see how this rolls out. And I do also think that the two members of Congress are also, they're also vulnerable on it.
Okay.
You know, Dean. Well, the conventional wisdom, I agree with Jeff, the conventional wisdom now certainly is that she's more vulnerable. If you judge by kind of the number of stories percolating up to the national political press that talk about Senator Shaheen being a vulnerable seat in the next election, I think that's a good indicator that the situation has changed since the summer when she was, had double-digit margins against most challengers.
So like national analysts, like the Cook Political
Report. Politico, any of the big, all those folks, they all mention New Hampshire now as a vulnerable seat. That was not the case 3 or 4 months ago.
Interesting. Well, I want to ask ask you, Kevin Landrigan, about another story that, boy, has been a tricky one to follow, and that's the story of Jim Reams, the sudden dismissal of Rockingham County's attorney. About a month ago, took another turn this week. This is a tricky story to follow, Kevin.
It really is. It's very murky legally. It's a real quagmire politically for Jim Reams. I mean, frankly, it's reminiscent of like Reagan Labor Secretary Ray Donovan after he was cleared of corruption charges completely. He had a press conference and said, "Where do I go to get my reputation back?" Jim Reams is going to have a hard time going anywhere to get his political image back. The latest report is regarding a victim witness advocate who works for Rockingham County, who falsified information on her resume. And a very studious and smart defense lawyer has gone in and tried to negate the conviction of his client because she testified in a case. Now, the question then becomes, this is sort of like what happened in Massachusetts with the tainted public health director there, meaning how many cases did this victim witness advocate testify in and how many could potentially be really devalued or even corrupted as a result of her problems with the resume. We don't know. There are three victim witness advocates who testify. This victim witness advocate is one of the three people who is on administrative leave right now, along with Jim Reams and the deputy county attorney, Tom Reed. And what's really mixed up and hard to figure is we have all of these things. We've got sexual harassment talk and rumors. We have questions about an American Express card where thousands of dollars were reimbursed to Jim Reams. Meanwhile, we have the Attorney General saying there's a criminal investigation going on now. Well, what's it about?
Is it
about the women? Is it about the money? Is it about the trials? All of the above? We still don't have a clue.
Well, and I think, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody's getting back together in court in late January, around the 20th or something like that. So maybe a little more information then.
Yes, we're hopeful of that.
Okay. Another story I did want to follow up on, Dean Spilotis, it seems a little early, but no, it's never too early for presidential politics here in the Granite State. Peter King, a New York congressman, was back in the state. I think he's been here half a dozen times. What is Peter King talking about when he comes to New Hampshire?
Peter King is an 11-term Republican from Long Island in Congress. This was his fifth visit to New Hampshire, and he was here. He was a special guest at a Republican fundraiser in Concord. He spoke to the Northeast Regional Troopers Association. And I had an opportunity to talk to him Monday afternoon at length, and he was announcing either that day or right around that day, the formation of a new PAC, his own PAC called American Leadership Now. And it's interesting, the goal of this PAC is, as he told me, is to take the idea of conservatism back from the Tea Party. He's been at odds with the Tea Party for a while now, and he was very critical in our conversation of Rand Paul and Ted Cruz.
He
considers himself a good Republican, a good conservative. He considers John Boehner a good conservative, but now they have now been sort of put in a position by the right wing of the party, and particularly the Tea Party, on issues like he's sort of a kind of a traditional Republican defense hawk. They had real kind of battles with Rand Paul over foreign policy. He's also been very critical of President Obama on health care. But just this is sort of indicative of the split within the Republican Party. And this has been brewing now we've been talking about this for about 10 years, and it really is kind of coming to a head in Congress. And I think it will be manifest in the next presidential election as well. So he was very coy, obviously, about whether or not he's going to run for president. But he sure is spending a lot of time up here. He seems really motivated by the idea of waging this war with the right wing of his party. And as I said, he name-checked Rand Paul and Ted Cruz a number of times in our conversation.
Yeah, although nobody's calling, from what I know, Peter King a liberal Republican or a moderate Republican. I mean, he's known as a conservative in his own mold.
Right. But there's a sense, though, even so, that the agenda has kind of – the control of the agenda has kind of shifted away from what we would traditionally call kind of the gravitational center of the party. That has shifted to the right in a way that we haven't seen before. It's been manifest in sort of the struggles over the budget and the government shutdown. Some of the foreign policy moves by President Obama, he's consistently been on the opposite side of those from people like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul.
Jeff, who else has been poking around in the snows in New Hampshire with presidential hopes?
I just want to say something about Peter King. Is that, you know, he's big strong suit, I guess. Well, that what I guess his forte is Homeland Security, defense, and he's been very, very loud about it over many years. He's, you know, I forget, he's a chairman of some committee involved with that, and he's, you know, that's his big deal, you know, and we'll see what happens when he's here. I don't know how it's going to play in New Hampshire. I know he seems to get some support, but I'm just not sure how it's going to play.
Who else has been around?
Well, we've seen, well, I don't know, do we count Scott Brown or not? Could you tell me?
No, that's the Iowa story. The New Hampshire story is the Senate race.
No, but we, you know, Rand Paul has been here. Sure. We've seen, I'm like drawing a blank now.
Yeah, well, all of it.
All of them.
All of the potential.
Marco Rubio was here, but now
Bobby
he's
Bobby Jindal was here briefly.
Bobby Jindal, yeah.
He's the governor of Louisiana.
I think he could just pretty much name everybody.
Really, what all of them, what's interesting is all these potential Republican presidential candidates, they're all looking for reasons to come here.
Right.
And there are no reasons right now, as we've talked about. No major candidate for Senate, no major candidate for governor. So there aren't these events. So they're figuring out financial ways to get into the state.
The PACs allow them to support.
So, for example, Governor Christie, former political director, becomes executive director of the New Hampshire Republican Party. Matt Maurer's doing a great job there in that new position. Rand Paul donated $5,000 to a recent fundraiser. Marco Rubio as well has kicked in. They're all trying to wedge their way into the conversation.
Speaking of fundraisers, Kevin, thank you for that segue. you attended an event unveiling a special commemorative liquor bottle that the state is selling just in time for Christmas. What do these look like? What are they?
Yeah, they're like butterscotch-colored brown, circular, circular in size. They've got the Old Man of the Mountain picture on them.
So it's not shaped like the old man. It's
no,
got a picture.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's got the
I
image.
It was shaped like the old man.
You know, it's funny you should say that because years ago, Jim Beam, the whiskey maker, used every holiday would make these huge bottles. And they were all in shapes of, they had one of the Old Man on the Mountain. They had one of the Purple Finch. They had one of the Lilac, which is the... and they had one, John Stark. And that was one of the problems. Jim Beam no longer does that. So when it came time to do this commemorative bottle, they had to go to Ukraine to have it made. And it's got Russian vodka in it.
But the proceeds will go
go to the Hall of Flags, which I'm here to say a lot of fourth graders get this benefit when they come to the State House. It's the gateway to the State House. If you've never been there, it's the coolest place. The Hall of Flags, these aren't replica flags. Flags brought from the battlefield, from Revolutionary War to the Vietnam War. It'll raise $85,000. These flags need a lot of help. Require as much as $1 million in improvements.
All right. Well, there you go. A last-minute idea for your holiday shopping. Gentlemen, Merry Christmas. Happy
Same
New Year.
You.
We'll see you in the new year. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
This is The Exchange on NHPR.
And these are the final minutes of NHPR's December Fund Drive. I'm Rebecca Lavoie in the studio with Brady Carlson. We began this 9 a.m. hour with a $6,500 goal. We have just $900 left to raise in the next 6 minutes to end this drive. This is your final chance to support NHPR in 2013. Pick up the phone. Help us meet this goal. 1-888-805-6477 or go online, nhpr.org.
That means just you and seven other listeners giving at the typical amount of $10 a month as sustaining members would make that hourly goal. And we wrap up this December Fund Drive with style. You can make that happen right now with your gift to New Hampshire Public Radio at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
You have just 5.5 minutes left to enter our final drawing of this drive. We are giving away an iPad Air, a brand new shiny retina display. Oh, hoity-toity, great, great device, iPad Air. You do not want to miss this drawing. The book closes on this drawing at 10 a.m. with the end of this drive, so you have about 5 minutes left to enter. When you make your gift, give us a call, 1-888-805-6477. Get your iPad Air in time for Christmas, nhpr.org for your chance.
You know, this is a time of year when we think about what we're grateful for. And what we are grateful for here in New Hampshire Public Radio is you. We are so grateful for you this holiday season because you listen, because you participate with your questions on The Exchange and the Diane Rehm Show, because as members, you have shown us how much you value public radio. If you haven't made a gift yet, a tax-deductible gift, you've still got time to get in on this special drawing and to support what you hear every day on NHPR at 1-888-805-6477.
We have two people on the phone right now. We have just $700 now left to raise before the end of this drive. Everybody who calls or is entered to win our final drawing. It ends at 10 a.m. Pick up the phone now and you won't miss your chance to win a brand new iPad Air. Everyone wants one. You could get one when you call 1-888-805-6477 or make your gift online, nhpr.org.
There are a couple of people on the phones right now. Why not join them and let's wrap up this goal together at 1-888-805-6477. It doesn't take very long to make that contribution, just a couple of minutes on the phone or on the web at nhpr.org. You'll be done in time to hear the Diane Rehm Friday News Roundup, the domestic hour coming up at 10 o'clock, international news after that. You can hear the whole thing uninterrupted with pledge fundraising at 1-888-805-6477.
We've got five listeners on the phone right now, five people joining the community of listener supporters, five people who will have a chance to win an iPad Air. Join them. Get your chance to win this final drawing of our drive. You have to call by 10 a.m. Initiate your call by 10. Go online. Make a gift. It only takes 2 minutes. You have about 3 minutes. 1-888-805-6477. Get your chance right now at nhpr.org.
Now just $300 left to go on this hour's goal, the final hour of the December fund drive. Just about 3 minutes left. So your $1 a day membership to New Hampshire Public Radio would put us past the goal, past the finish line, as it were. You can do that right now. You should do that right now. As a listener, you might as well support it too at 1-888-805-6477.
Think about how much you use this service. Do you listen to The Exchange a couple of times a week? Do you listen to Morning Edition, All Things Considered? Your listening probably adds up to hours a week. It probably adds up to hundreds, even thousands of hours a year. How about paying a little bit for it? You pay for other sources of information like cable, like internet. How about paying for a little bit of NHPR too? It is tax deductible. It's your final chance in 2013 to make your gift become a listener supporter. 1-888-805-6477 or online, nhpr.org.
And some very good news. We have made the goal.
Yay!
That is fantastic news. The actual one single gift that put us over the top was a leadership circle gift, which is very exciting. But everyone who made a gift today came together to make this goal happen. So thank you so much. Your generosity has made this a wonderful holiday season here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and we are grateful for you. There is still time for you to get in on a special gift, which could show us how much we appreciate you, the iPad Air. And you still got 2 minutes to get in on that drawing. So why not still give us a call, support NHPR, and get in on this drawing before 10 o'clock.
We have given away another iPad Air in this drive. We've given away some great prizes, a $500 Outlet gift card, a King Arthur Flower gift card. Listeners won them. You can be the next listener to win, but only if your name is in the hat. The way to do it is by giving a gift, giving us a call, going online before 10 a.m. That's about a minute and 20 seconds away. As long as you initiate that call, that online gift, your name will be in the hat. So do not delay. You could win an iPad Air. Wrap it up for someone for Christmas or keep it for yourself. 1-888-805-6477 or go online, nhpr.org.
You know, we are listener-supported New Hampshire Public Radio, and we say that day in, day out. You hear us say it all the time. You hear Dan Colgan. He's going to say it in a few minutes after the news. He'll say, support for NHPR comes from you, our members. We say it so often, it's easy to forget how special it is. It is so special. We don't forget that your generosity makes this news service possible. We are very grateful to every single person who has made a gift today and throughout this December fund drive and throughout 2013. If you haven't yet, we would love to hear from you, too, at 1-888-805-6477.
We would love to thank you for your gift. We would love to give you an opportunity to win an iPad Air. If you start your call right now, you will be in the running for this final drawing of the December fund drive. We're counting down the seconds now. This is it. Pick up the phone. 1-888-805-6477. You can make your tax-deductible gift to the station you love at nhpr.org. And thank you much for everyone for their support.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, the Diane Rehm Show coming up next. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Liberty Utilities, local and responsive, working every day to help New Hampshire families by offering energy audits and weatherization programs. Details at libertyutilities.com/efficiency. And hosted IM from Vodia Networks, providing small businesses with a complete suite of cloud-based managed voice services.